welcome to the first ever Generation Now, a show by and for millennials. I'm your resident millennial, Troy McDonald. Thank you so much for joining us. So how did the show come about? I went to my boss and I said, there isn't a show on the air, at least locally, that talks about or that is hosted by a millennial. Everyone talks about us, but there isn't a show hosted by us that's on the air. So I went to him. He said, cool, that's a great idea. And here we are today. On this very first edition, we welcome rapper extraordinaire Denny Lanes, who's impeccable and is a very close friend of mine. He's just fantastic. We talk about his big viral hit, Zeus. We talk about the controversy that almost ended his relationship with his girlfriend that caused havoc online. He'll talk about that for the first time today. And also why he will never give out his gamer tag to his fans again. Stay tuned. This is Generation Now. Speaking of beast, gonna be so record. Ooh, I'm close enough, don't open up like a pinata. If you ain't got nothing, please say not. Leaving dead beasts like a bad father. I'm a rare fossil. Aristotle, you're air apostle. Please don't speak. Denny Lanes is a phenom whose music has been streamed millions of times all over the world. He's been featured on Sirius XM Radio, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, This Is 50, Vibe, World Star Hip Hop, you name it. Many have declared him to be the future of rap music. And I agree. Please welcome the impeccable, the incomparable Denny Lanes.
How you doing, man?
Fantastic. Long time no see.
Yes, very, very long.
2017 has been a dominant year for you. You were awarded by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as an artist to watch, among other awards. You've performed all over the country. What did you learn about yourself in 2017?
Definitely learned that self-belief and just going for it really, really is the key. When you hear these people say, man, just shoot for the stars, man, just go out there and get it, like, that is the most truest statement I've heard, because that's really what I did. I didn't wait on nobody. And whatever I wanted to do, I just went for it. And I learned that, you know, I'm capable of anything.
Wow. And some people will hear that and say, well, that's a cliche. You know, that's kind of cheesy. Yeah, but you're saying that you saw that practice in reality for yourself.
Yes. Yes, definitely. For example, man, like even something as small as, you know, winning, or not small, but, you know, even if something like winning an award, man, like, I didn't expect at my age to win, you know, something, you know, already. But just for, you know, having a good support system and just releasing music when I want to, how I want to, you know, making stuff, you know, whatever I want to do, you know, releasing on my own time, you know, that structure right there just really is self-proof that, you know, you can do anything your own way. And rule number one is never wait on nobody, because nobody's sitting around going to just hand you stuff. So you got to really go out there and get it. And that's what I did.
Yeah, and that's evident. So 2017 was a year of, like, the rap resurgence. I mean, Cardi B became more relevant, really, than people like Taylor Swift. I mean, she can't sell a ticket anymore. She's irrelevant. What is it about rap music that you think has just motivated millennials, people our age, unlike any other genre out there?
I think it's really entertainment. It's really entertaining. And I know me and you have spoken, you know, off camera, off these mics before, and we've kind of compared it to wrestling, and that's what I like to compare, you know, rap to.
Really?
It's like wrestling. Yes, because, you know, people are characters nowadays instead of, I don't know, per se, being themselves, you know, like, you know, they color their hair, they act a way, talk a certain way, you know, they're a character, and for that, I think people find that very entertaining. It's not really about being invested in anybody anymore, like how it used to be.
You know, where you would put a poster on the wall, you'd go follow everything that they did.
Yes.
That's dead.
That's dead, definitely. They're here for a 30-second piece of entertainment, pretty much. You know, if you can make them laugh for a minute straight, then they'll follow you, but that's all you're good for. You'll get lost in the sauce. Definitely.
Lost in the sauce. I love it. So I have a question on that, though.
What's up?
Does that make you feel disposable?
Mm.
As an artist who's making content,
yeah.
that you don't have these... I mean, there are people who love what you do, but you say you're just like a piece of their mm-hmm. whole entertainment. So yeah. do you feel like you're just disposable, I guess?
In a way. In a way, me personally, I don't feel I'm disposable because the way... I'm not like everyone in a way because you can be disposable if you follow... what other people are doing. If you want a quick success, if you want to make a quick buck, then yes, you will be disposable. But if you plan and strategize like how I do for longevity, then you know you should be all right. And the people that do have, at the end of the day, you can be as funny, you can be, you know, entertaining for however long you want to be on an app. But if you don't have the actual talent or the actual passion or drive, then you won't last. So I think, I'm not disposable.
So you think there are artists out there who can, who are playing that game.
Yeah.
But then you and some others are not playing that game. You're playing the longevity game. So
yes.
two of those, they can still exist.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Because these people that plan for a quick come up will only be just a quick come up because they're only focused on, okay, what will get me 1,000 likes? Oh, let me just jump off this roof right here. And they do that. They jump off the roof, you know, sever an artery. And then what? And then like, oh, well, I didn't really think about then what. I just wanted that 1,000 likes. So if you think about the longevity of things, then no, you can't just be disposed of.
I mean, someone who was not disposed of that is still relevant is Lil Wayne released his new, what do they call that, mixtape?
Yes.
And 50 Cent as well. What was it? I mean, everyone knows that you were inspired by them. What was it about them specifically that motivated you to get in the business?
Well, definitely they're two totally different people, totally different artists and sounds. But Lil Wayne's work ethic and writing style really inspired me, probably because of how he said, hey, I don't go to clubs, I don't go to parties, I don't do all this, I just record. And that kind of instilled in me that, okay, if you want to be as successful as he is and, you know, win the stuff that he has won, then you have to work for it. And all these, you know, you can have fun, but he says he has fun when he's getting paid for it. So, I mean, of course, you don't just go outside just because you want to. He has a reason for it. So that is why Lil Wayne inspired me. But 50 Cent, I don't know. At the time, I'm still a big gamer, but at the time, I had PlayStation 2, and he had a game called 50 Cent Bulletproof.
Oh, I remember.
You remember Bulletproof?
I do.
And that made me a first fan because, I was playing games. And I was like, oh, I've heard of 50 Cent. Let me get the game. I got the game. And I was like, oh, this game is cold, you know. so ever since then, and, you know, in the game, of course, they play his music, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't have no theme music, no game music.
Right.
They play him. So that's all I was hearing. Every day I would play the game. That's all. And I was like, oh, he's cool. And then he came out with a movie. And then, you know, he just kept, you know, hitting people in the head with things, you know. And it was like instilled in my brain, oh, 50 Cent, he's the man. And as soon as I, you know, got my sister's laptop, I became more invested in him. And I was a fan ever since. And he really made me want to rap because, you know, as you know, probably my story, the Get Rich or Die Trying story, when he was rapping in the movie, I just said, hey, if you can do it, I can do it. And boom, there you go.
Rest is history. And a part of your story, as you were saying, is not only 50 Cent and Lil Wayne, but Milwaukee has been huge. We all know, of course, that you love Milwaukee, but what has kept you in the city? Because you can go anywhere you pretty much want to now. Why do you still decide to rep Milwaukee?
Man, because always, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, where you come from, you can never forget where you come from. You can never forget where you started, you know, because this is where it all started. And even if it's not Milwaukee, you know, where it all kind of started here in Kenosha as well. As you know, that's where I met you. So always I'll have some sort of, you know, tie, some sort of connection to the state of Wisconsin or in the city of Milwaukee, because that's where I wrote my first rap. You know, that's where I grew up. That's where I gained all my fans from. So I can't just leave and just, you know, oh, I'm from Delaware now. I can't say that. But I'll always have a connection here, man, because, I mean, these are where all my fans curated first and where it all began. So I'll always have some sort of connection to where I came from.
So even, I mean, because you've traveled all over the world, you know, does it, you never think, man, you know, Wisconsin, you know, just want to leave those jobbers behind? Because a lot, I mean, it's funny, but a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you talk about Gucci Man, you know, I don't know where he's from.
Right. I think it's Atlanta, but yeah, no.
A lot of people hop off their city and then whatever.
Yeah, definitely, man. As far as where I'm relocating, I'm still working on it because I can't take the cold. I'm going to be honest with you, can't take the cold. But I always want to at least bring something back here because, you know, I don't want to, you know, come out of Milwaukee and then that just be it. I want to, you know, bring something back to where I come from and, I don't know, maybe build some sort of, studio with my name on it or something. I don't know, that kids that are my age can have some sort of outlet. So that's why I don't just pick up and leave because, you know, I want to always come back and, you know, help the next generation or the next, you know, line of artists after me. So,
well, that's a big thing to think about.
Definitely.
You know, that's awesome. You released, excuse me, you released Believer this year, your EP.
Yes.
I think it was the best artwork of your career. The album cover is amazing. And you had a contest for that, I believe.
Yes.
You had fans who designed it and they won $500, which is a lot of freaking money.
Yeah.
So talk about Believer and, you know, is new music in the works?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Believer, pretty much I experimented a lot with Believer. I made those during the 96 era. So I made a bunch of songs and we all split them up. But the ones that were on Believer were the ones that stuck out the most. So we're like, okay, we can't just have these mixed in with 12 other songs that just get looked over. We want these to be special in their own way. So that's what we did. As far as the artwork, we just came up with this competition to kind of what we were thinking. What's a way we can promote this project and it not just be like, you know, every other thing that I've done. So we just said, okay, let's get the people more involved. So we set up this contest. You know, I made a little video. Hey, make some artwork for me. You know, you can win $500, yada, yada, be done by this date. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of entries. Some were good, some were bad. But the one that stuck out the most, I think his Instagram name is DeBello. So I appreciate Mr. DeBello for making the artwork that's on Believer now. It was really the most, I don't know, the most innovative thing I've seen, you know, especially, I don't know, he took his time on it. So it was pretty much a done deal when we first seen that. And yeah, man, new music is on the way. Right now, I'm working on another project, but we don't know right now what it's called, what it will be, you know, but just always to keep working, keep busy, you know. I will say this, the next album will be a concept album. I'll say that.
Interesting.
Yes.
Breaking news.
Yes.
Concept
album.
So
just expect a concept. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's the last thing I would have expected from you.
Yes. Hey.
And that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but wow, I'm looking forward to this. Speaking of Believer, there was a track called Believe Her that created some controversy.
Yes, it did.
That questioned the status of your relationship with your girlfriend, Tiana.
Right.
Is the song about her?
It is not.
And okay, well then why would you make the song knowing that it would create that controversy?
She even asked me the question, that same question as well, because she was not there on the session, of course, so, you know, it's forgiven. But, man, you know what? I was working with a friend of mine. His name is Mr. Wonder. And he had the concept already about, hey, man, what's you ever been through heartbreak before? You ever been through, you know, this? You ever had a girl do this to you, man? I was like, oh, of course, we all have, right? So that was the concept. That's what he laid out. You know, he made the beat, and he said, all right, let's brainstorm, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And he came up with the chorus. Shawty say she love me. So, yeah, he came up with that chorus, right? And I was like, oh, man, okay, we might have some here. So I just went in with the verses. So, no, it wasn't about anyone per se. It was just about anyone that's been in that situation before where you felt like, oh, okay, this girl did me this way or this girl's looking for this because I'm this, you know. So that's what the song was about. It's not about nobody. But good question, though. I always get that question, so I'm glad I'm able to
So how is Tiana? Are you guys doing
well? Oh, yeah,
well?
Great, good. Great. Yeah, I was just talking to her a few seconds ago. yeah,
how
man,
is
great.
How important is her support?
Oh, man, very, career? Very important because, you know, I've known her a long time. I know I went to school with her, but I've only been with her for a closing, coming in on 2 years almost in February.
Wow.
So, yes, very, very huge because now when I travel places, I'm not by myself and I don't know, oh, man, you know, is this good? Is this whatever? Because, you know, there's a bunch of people that'll say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But she's always been the one that's been telling me, like, hey, you can write better than this, or oh, this line's all right. So, yeah, having her around is definitely someone I can actually confide in and get some advice from. So definitely someone that's not biased. So, yes, that support is very huge, man. Yeah.
Awesome. Believer was just five tracks, as you said. Like, there was a separate, you know, piece to that. You had 12 tracks on 96 and then five on Believer. Do you think the traditional album is dead?
Mm.
Because the rap business now is built on, you know, singles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it is. Yes. Sad to say, I think it is. I think
sad
whole,
to say.
Yeah, I think the whole album, the whole project, the whole whatever grand scheme, all this buzz, I think it's died down, you know, as the years go by, because I think, especially with the millennials nowadays, they want to live in a moment. They want moment-type material. So, you know, if you drop a hot song, they want to hear that song, whatever, whatever. And then you got to come up with another song, whatever. It's just the whole project, the whole album thing. I think, especially with today's internet and how fast things move, people are not going to sit through a whole list of things, you know, like they used to.
Hmm.
Especially with the YouTubes out and all that stuff, you know, you can, especially even with the hard CDs, you know, people aren't buying the CDs.
No.
Like how they used to. I used to love going to Walmart and going to wherever and getting a hard CD and looking at the little notebook that's inside.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I remember the experience of being, you know, a kid or younger and buying the CD, like you said, playing it on the boombox and wondering what they meant, what the meaning of the song was. So that's gone.
Definitely, yeah. It's definitely a song-to-song type of day and age that we're living in, but the people that are great at making albums are, of course, here to stay and, of course, getting the shine that they deserve because only a few can do it.
Hmm. Wow, that's a strong statement. So you're saying there's a lot of rap people or artists who cannot make albums.
Yeah, yeah. I think they know that. That's the thing. I think they know that. And if they weren't in album deals, they would, you know, I'm sure stick to the formula that they're good at. But you know how the game is. So and they know that. They know that, you know, they can make a song and they know they're not here to, you know, spit crazy bars or be witty or anything or try to move people. They're just here to have fun and, you know, make people have fun. And that's what they're good at.
You've done a lot of this recording for Believer and
I'm
assuming for this new project in Atlanta, New York City.
Yes.
What is so special about recording in Atlanta versus in New York City and compared to Milwaukee? Because a lot of your rich first work was done in Wisconsin and then you went, you know, outside of the state. What has that added to your game?
Definitely New York is a whole, I don't know if you've never been there, but
no, I've never been to New York City.
Well, I can't even compare it to Chicago, but it's a whole, like, New York is like a, I don't even know. It's just like the movies, man. It's just a whole different feeling, man. Like, you go outside and everyone's still up. I'm talking like 3 a.m, I go to Times Square, people are still shopping at Sephora, man. It's just weird. It's just, man. So that's just a whole, like, vibe being in New York, just the whole nightlife. It really brings a whole different vibe, a whole different good energy to a room. But Atlanta as well, man. I don't know if you've ever been to Atlanta. But
no, that's on my list.
Well, yes. Please do. Please go to Lenox Mall, too.
Okay.
I think you'll love Lenox Mall.
Okay, Lenox Mall.
But, yeah, man, Atlanta as well is a whole different vibe, man, especially being in the South, a lot of Southern food and, you know, a lot of Southern people, like the hospitality there. It's just good energy, man. So New York and Atlanta, they have great energies, man. So that's why I stick to them. And plus, the people I know there, I like sticking to what I know. The engineer Surge is in Platinum Sound Studios, and John West in Atlanta. You know, so.
So you have a team of people, dedicated producers that you trust that
get
what you're trying to do.
Yes. Yeah, man. Yeah. Especially when it comes to engineering and mixing. You know, I don't like going into a studio and people, you having to get to know them all over again. Like, oh, man, I like it like this, but, you know, I just like to stick to, you know, who knows me and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And are you from what I remember, you were involved in that process, making sure that everything sounded the way.
Has that
gotten stronger, or do you kind of let the engineers do whatever they want to?
Oh, no, I'm definitely, at first, yes, definitely. I used to just trust, you know, their ear and whatnot. But now that I know how I like to sound, and, you know, I don't use autotune a lot, but when I ask for it, I know how, you know, I know what key and you know, what pitch I'm trying to be in and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I definitely am more hands-on as far as the whole mixing process goes. Yeah.
Do you worry about topping yourself? As you said, there's a it's a song-to-song thing. Yeah. Zeus is, like, was a monster hit for you and was all over the internet everywhere. Mm-hmm. Do you worry about that being, that you could ever supplant that success?
No. No, I don't think so. I hope that it doesn't. I hope that that day doesn't come to where I feel like I'm in a rut. But as of right now, no, I feel, because Zeus was an older track that just came out, you know, that just was released new. So I know that I'm not. I rap better than I was, you know, last year or even 2 years ago. So no, I'm never worried about, you know, if I'm gonna top myself or not or anything. But yeah, guys, I'm always improving, I'm always working, and I'm always scratching and starting over and whatnot. And the people will tell me, I don't always worry about, oh, I got to top this song, because I just do what I do, and the people will choose whatever song they like, and, you know, I just go with that flow. Yeah,
that's really smart, because I think a lot of people do get caught up in chasing that success.
Yep.
And that almost becomes more important than the art itself for some.
Yeah.
And so you don't get caught in that. You say.
Yeah, never, never. Like I said, instead of hearing a song and seeing how good it is, and I'm trying to create that all over again, I just stick to the process that I made. Because Wise Man told me, never go, and I think the wise man was you actually, T, never go in the studio to try to make a hit. Just go in the studio and have fun. And that's how hits are. And if you know today's hits, when there's only one word being said, you can tell they're just going in there and just, man, chair leg. Hey, boom, it's a hit. So, yeah, just go in there and I just have fun, man.
There is really nothing. I mean, a huge portion, I think, of yours, not newfound success because you've been working so long, but I'd say your important rise over the last year is your live performance. You're one of the best performers of your generation.
Wow.
How did you perfect that?
Man, I wish I could tell you, but I think a lot of it just came from just practice, man. Just practice being in front of open mics, practice being in front of smaller venues and smaller crowds. And I think that just developed into, man, I'm just as more comfortable as I ever be. I don't care about looking stupid. I don't care about dancing. I just want to give a show, because when people are in front of you and people pay their money to come see you, like, they deserve to get a full show, a full performance, give it your all, because these people paid their own money to watch you, to watch a person. So,
and
you got to give them a show.
I mean, I saw you last in Milwaukee. It was at some event you were being awarded, of course, and you just went crazy on the stage.
Thank you.
I couldn't believe how much energy. And then there were some performers, you know, you were towards the closing of the set, as you should have been.
Right,
the
you.
People in the beginning were garbage, trash, as you would say. I mean, some of the worst performers I've ever, I mean, like, really bad. So when you came on and you got in the crowd and you just brought this energy out, that was amazing. And so you're saying you just go up there and you don't have to think about that?
Yeah, no, man, especially I love getting more intimate with the crowd. I like being more involved with the crowd, is like, you know, dropping off of the stage, because I mean of course that might have to be regulated, the, you know, the larger the crowd, it really varies on the, you know, the size of the crowd, but I like to get off the stage and, you know, get involved with them, because, you know, at the end of the day, these people, you know, made you who you are, and I'll never forget that. So if, you know, I get off the stage and, you know, I shake hands with them, I get them involved in songs, or, you know, help me sing the lyrics to me and whatnot.
Yeah.
I just want to show my appreciation back to them by helping them get involved with the performance. And when they feel like they're involved with the performance, then they'll never forget it. Yeah.
What is the weirdest request you've gotten, business-wise,
right,
or from a fan.
Oh man. Okay, I get DMs every day, but there's this one DM from this girl. She said, "Denny, do you have an extra room? I'm staying at my aunt's house." And it was a woman I didn't know on that level to where she could ask me for a place to stay, you know, about. No, I don't have an extra room. I didn't reply, but she's like, "Do you have an extra room? Staying at my aunt's house, please, please." And there's another person that they're like, "Hey, man, can you get on my song and can you share it? I don't have any money right now, but please, can you share?"
And so you've made a statement on that on Snapchat, saying that you do paid features with the emphasis on paid. I can see your reaction.
Still to this day, "Hey man, let's collab. I just don't get it. People, and they're not people that I know that so they would expect or, you know, assume that I'd give them a favor or something. But like, I don't know. I guess people just assume, because I'm so easygoing, I'm so nice, I don't get on Instagram, you know, flexing and saying all this crazy stuff, which I probably should start, because, you know, because in order to stop this madness, I'm going to have to. So,
right.
But no, people still to this day, you know, wanting free verses, wanting free time from me. But the way things are going, the way I got to keep things moving, I can't just give my time to anybody. And I've tried making that clear, but I'm going to make it clear again. I can't just hop on anything, so I'm gonna say this now. I don't mind listening to anybody's links that they send me, but if you know you don't have a studio, if you know you don't have a proper setup or a proper recording, I would suggest you don't send it to me, because that's my first impression of you was, okay, his stuff was not up to par as far as quality. Probably not gonna be the next time. So my suggestion would be, oh, I know him. Yeah. So, yeah.
Tone just walked in the other studio.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be my suggestion. Please have some quality, and I'll listen to your links.
You've stayed connected with your fans. You obviously mentioned how important, you know, that is for you to be connected with your fans.
Yeah.
Recently on Snapchat, you gave away your gamer tag to play with NBA 2K.
I did.
You have a thing for the Pelicans.
That was a mistake, by the way. That was a mistake.
It was. Why? Too many people.
Yes. And when I don't play them, they say, "You're trash. You're trash. Play me, dog. You're trash." Yeah, that's why people play me trash. I can't.
So how do you balance? That's a better question than my question. How do you balance staying connected without being overloaded?
Oh, man. I think just moderation. I think, of course, I was ready at that time and moment to play anybody, so it wasn't much. But when it like, you know, I wasn't just sitting at a desk and be like, "Here's my gamer tag," whatever. And then I get home and there's trillions of messages. I was ready. I was playing people. You know, I was interacting. Mm-hmm. But I think just everything in moderation. Just, you know, every once in a while, give them something, and just prepare for it and always be ready for what you're giving the people. I think that's what people just, they say or they post whatever, and they're not in the position to prepare for the backlash for it. So if you prepare, like, "Hey, I'm about to post this, and I'm going to prepare to hear this back." Boom. So it doesn't affect you that way. So that's how I'm able to just balance the two. I just prepare before I post or say anything.
How do you deal with the trolls?
Oh, man.
Because you're at
a
level.
Actually, I laugh.
You laugh.
I laugh because some of the things are funny. They're generally funny. Because
there was a meme going around on the internet about, because you have very pronounced eyebrows.
Yeah.
And people were making.
Yes.
And so you laugh at that? You never take personal.
Oh, no. Okay. I think it's funny. I think it's really funny because, at the end of the day, that's what the internet's for. And just recently, oh my goodness, I'm glad you brought this up, because just recently, a friend of mine sent me a screenshot of somebody saying, he was like, about my most recent video, Double Up, that I released. They were like, how is he standing on that car? That's disrespectful. Who would let him stand on that car?" And it was funny because at the time when I was shooting the video, the person that owned that car was in the driver's seat. You know, the windows are just tinted, so it didn't really.
Oh.
But he was there, and I asked him, "Hey, can I stand on the car? Because, you know, I like to get, you know, different shots, get a little active, you know, in my videos." And he's like, "Oh, of course, do your thing." So, but yeah, that just goes to show you that people that don't know,
right,
that just watch, they're gonna talk. and I laugh because they don't know.
Right.
It's innocent, man. They didn't know he was in the driver's seat. They thought I can just rent a car and just hop on the hood and just start smashing it. So yeah, man, with the trolls, I just laugh because it's funny, man. Some of the things are just funny.
So what's, obviously you said that you're working on a concept album.
Yeah.
But what's your hope for 2018, this year?
Okay, well, definitely, I'm going to start touring soon. I have a lot of fans in other countries too, so we're going to try to put things together to where I can, you know, get in front of those people as well, because I can go around the United States all I want, but trying to get, you know, my international people involved as well. So that's definitely what's first and foremost. We're going to try a tour for 2018. We're going to set that up, whether it's summer, whether it's, you know, I don't know, 10 cities, whether. Mm-hmm. We're going to start. But as far as, yeah, like the concept album, we're going to try to make things more things in front of people, you know, as far as going and meeting with who we got to meet with, or talking to who we got to talk with on certain talk shows or maybe radio shows like this one. Just get more in front of people, because we've been doing it more underground per se, letting the fans make the buzz, but now we're going to try to take it to a next level and get more mainstream with it by getting in front of who we need to get in front of. And so that's what's really set up for 2018. I'm going to get in front of people more, a tour, work on the concept album, and got some things in the mix. I mean, but luckily about this life, T, that I've realized, mm-hmm. we can have a plan all we want, but a lot of things just happen just spur right. of the moment, man. Mm. So I can't tell you what's going to happen. Mm.
But yeah. I do know that it's going to be awesome
yes.
and amazing.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Denny, I can honestly say that you are one of the best human beings that I've wow. ever had the privilege of meeting.
Thank you.
And man. I'm just glad that you made some time to stop by.
Thank you, man. Oh, of course. Like, hey, man, one of these days, T, I'm going to bring you on the stage, man. I'm going to bring you on the stage. I got to let the people know that the mad scientist behind the Denny Lane's formula was first in you. And I'll always give you that credit, man. I'm telling you. Wow. I'll always give you the credit, because whether it's speaking in front of people, whether it's mics, whatever, you were there, you saw the development. So
yeah.
I would pay you in some sort of way, man. But right now, here you go. T was the man behind the Denny Lane's development.
How do people get in contact with you if they want to follow you?
Of course. Well, DennyLanes.com is where anything is, my shows, my merchandise, whatever you want to do, www.DennyLanes.com. Also at Who Is Denny on Instagram, and also at Denny Lanes on Facebook and Twitter. That is DennyLanez.
A huge shout out to the one, the only, Denny Lanes, for taking time out of his busy schedule to make an appearance on the first ever edition of Generation Now. I'm so grateful. He's such a good friend, and I appreciate it so much. Check out his music on Apple Music and Spotify. He just released a new single called Guess Not. It's incredible. And thank you for listening to the first ever Generation Now. Stay up to date with everything WGTD, breaking news, latest headlines, facebook.com/WGTDFM. Until next time, bye everybody.